Hi, I'm Spencer.
And I'm Blake.
And you're about to get jumped.
Welcome to episode 166 of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, a weekly podcast where we watch the anime so you don't have to.
But you should still totally watch the anime.
This week on Get Jumped, we're watching Mob Psycho 100 Episode 1, where the secret attack is Salt, the super secret attack is middle schoolers, and the ghosts are a lovable biker gang.
Just when you thought ghosts were ghosts, it turns out all ghosts are just lovable biker gangs. That little girl up the street that looks like she's haunting a flower, actually, she's in a biker gang too. She rides a very small Harley, and everybody else rides different sizes Harleys that they need to fit their different sizes bodies. Anyways, let's jump in.
It's like, I'm just thinking of, like, I don't know, kids in their big wheels or something, like, you know, threateningly riding around town. That's probably how it works. And then you just grow up and then you get a regular motorcycle and you're in the gang.
Well, it works a lot like Bleach, where like you start off with your regular motorcycle and then it turns into a Seke motorcycle. And then if you get really good, you get a Bankai motorcycle.
Now you do have a young child. Has she started exhibiting biker gang behaviors yet?
Well, she's not a ghost yet. This is ghosts. When you become a ghost, you're forced to join the biker gang or become a hollow.
Well, I thought that you had to be in the biker gang before you ghosted.
This is
what are the rules?
This is the longest we've talked about something that happened before the opening scroll, whatever. Hey everybody, we're
this is important science.
We're back at it again with a new show. Back at it again with the white kids, or what does he say?
I want red kicks.
Yeah,
all I don't want white kids. Ugh.
So hey everybody, I am super excited to see how you felt about this show, because I'm ready to go straight into it. I don't have any news of the week other than getting to rewatch this absolute beauty of an anime.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts, and one is that this might be a weirdly short episode because there's no news that I have either, because Spencer and I are still in the, oh God, I hope we have time to record period of our couple of weeks here. And I'm really struggling to get through the stuff that I'm doing during the day, much less pay attention to anime shit. So I don't know anything that's been happening in the anime world. And we only watched one episode. And it's pretty action-packed, which usually means that we don't have as much to say, although I don't know that that'll, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, well, let's give you a little breakdown of what the show is that we are watching. So, first and foremost, the anime television series, is going to be Mob Psycho 100 by the same name. It was based off of a manga. The manga was published by Shogu Kakan. It looks like the sure. English producer was Dark Horse Comics. It was released on Ura Sunday and Manga One. It was meant as a shonen, and it ran its original run from April 18th, 2012 to December 22nd, 2017. The anime series, the original creator of it,
yeah, you're really burying the lead here, though.
The original creator, if you were wondering about, hey, who is this person that created this? It's created by the same person that made One Punch Man. It's a pseudonym, and it's just, if you don't know about One Punch Man, you haven't listened to the rest of our show, It's one of the other most fantastic mangas that's weird and people didn't expect to come out of nowhere and blow them away.
It was, you know, one of the original series that we covered when we very first started this show. I think it was our week three show. So the third episode ever of Blake and Spencer Get Jumped covered One Punch Man. And we have covered the first season in its entirety. We finished covering One Punch Man like a year before season two actually premiered. So we did not, of course, cover it because it was not available for coverage. And we haven't returned to it yet since, you know, we picked up some other shows in that time slot. And then ever since then, it's never been, I don't think One Punch Man has ever even appeared on a poll for a new show. But, you know, eventually I'm quite confident that eventually we will be covering it, but we haven't yet. But I know that both Spencer and I, we're already pretty big fans of One Punch Man. I think he had seen the whole thing a couple of times. And I had seen about half of it before we covered it for our show. We both loved it. It is, you know, very good. Kind of a what's not to love type situation. And then Mob Psycho 100 had come out around that time or came out shortly after. I don't remember. But, yeah, Spencer, you have seen Mob Psycho, and I have not. You have seen also the Mob Psycho live-action series on Net Not a Sponsor.
Look, I haven't seen all of it because I couldn't force myself to keep on going. It's just too awful.
What?
It's just...
What?
It's just the worst... It's just so bad. It's unwatchable. It's too hard to watch. The anime version of it though is done by Studio Bones. And if you are wondering if we have a bone for Studio Bones, the answer is you can only get so hard.
God, Spencer, you sound an awful lot like me. I'm very concerned and strangely aroused.
Okay. And then I want to do something that's a little bit different than we've done before on shows. And this is just because we've gotten more attached to the American voiceover cast of the anime since switching over and trying to watch a little bit more dubbed instead of subbed exclusively. And that's a lot because we've started to meet the dubbed cast and they're awesome.
Yeah, let's go ahead and say that they're our real life friends. That's not actually true, but I just, you know, we can will that into being and we can be real life friends with them. And then we'll be all good. So I'm just going to say that and don't call me on it.
Yeah. Anyways.
Great.
I'll just give you a rundown of the main cast. If you hear any of these names that you like, and you're wondering like who they are, you should definitely look them up. Regan, is going to be played by Chris Niosi, I believe it's pronounced. It's Niosi. It looks like he has done, quite a few other things before as well. It looks like, he did Tales of, Zestria. He did Fate Apocrypha. He was in a Godzilla Planet of the Monsters, so he's done a couple of pretty cool things. He was in Dragon Ball Super as Zercor, and I don't know who that is. Oh my god, he was the American Shia Poof for Hunter x Hunter. So that's cool.
That's one that I really wish had been available in dub.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the original is always
available.
The original is never an incorrect choice when you're choosing between dub and sub. But, you know, having met and of course become very close personal friends with all of these voice actors, I like to listen to the dub if I can.
Yeah,
it's also easier.
Then we have Kyle McCarley. He is going to be voicing Shigeo Kageyama or Mob. He was also in Your Lie in April, Fate Stay Night, Unlimited Blade Works, Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron Blooded Orphans, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Golden Wind, the only one you should watch. So he's also in Berserk, Beyblade. So,
Beyblade, get that to
me. Shit, he's John Steinbeck in Bungo Stray Dogs. You should definitely check this guy out. He's great.
Oh man.
Yeah. And then another character, which Blake hasn't been introduced yet because he hasn't gone enough in the series, but if you've watched Mob before, you know this character, is Michael Sorich. He plays Dimple, and that means nothing to Blake so far, but he is great.
Is that the green ghost fart thing?
Why do you know about that so far?
Is it a fart? Is it really a fart?
It's not, but you'll find out. Oh. My favorite thing that
he's in the intro and also like all the promotional material.
Yeah. My two favorite things that he has been a part of is going to be he's Cowboy Bebop, he's Giraffe, which you'll remember from episode 6. And then the other character is he is Bobo's dad from Bobo. And then the one that I think that Blake will be the most excited about is that he has done four different Digimon series.
Tell me all of them.
He's done Digimon Digital Monsters. He was Zudamon, Andromon, Elecmon, and Digimon Digital Squad. He was Baronmon, Digimon Frontier. He was Nemon, Centromon, Dagamon, Elecmon, Grankuomon, Pandamon, Phantomon. And Digimon Tamers, he was Dobermon, Doggymon, the Owl, and Vikralamon.
The Owl is wacky. I know exactly what his voice sounds like. I remember many of those.
Yeah. And so there's also a full secondary cast. And what I would suggest here is that you should just kind of scroll through them and see what else they should have done. We're just going to give you the main cast from here. And the biggest reason I really want to start doing this is because, like, I really, really think that our American dubbing friends should get more acclaim and also get more of like a fan base following than they currently have. So like if you like them in one thing, you should check out like their other work, because sometimes they've done a lot of really cool stuff. And I've tried to start going back and watching some of the anime that some of these other people are in that we have done interviews with. Some of them are easier than others, like Crispin Freeman is like, you know, he's been in everything. But some of these other people I'm getting more acquainted with and finding out more about them. And the more I look them up, I'm like, oh God, they've done so many shows that I really like.
Yeah.
And so you should definitely check them out.
The newer stuff is easier too, because the way that studios think about writing for and directing for dubs is different than it used to be, because they used to be like, these are cartoons for children and I don't care how adult it is, we'll dumb it down and add in stupid jokes. And then now they're like, these are anime for people who like anime, and we should be very faithful to that, and that's a better experience.
Yeah.
And I like that a lot. And one thing that I also like about watching the dubs now that we're best friends with all of the voice actors in the whole industry, is that when we first started doing interviews, they would like list, you know, we would talk to them, and either in the interview or beforehand, or often both, we'd be like, hey, who did you play, just to make sure we, you know, remember. Or we would like look, you know, we had the program that had people's stuff in it, but we would ask them to their face who they played, because, you know, sometimes they have other ones that stand out for them. And they would always list off these things of like anime that I have heard of but never seen, and or anime that I have watched only in the sub. And so I was like, well, I don't know any of your work, but here we go.
Yeah.
So that's not my favorite thing, and I would not say that to their face. Now we've actually met some of them and then, you know, seen their work, and it's pretty cool. So next time I'm going to be super ready.
Yeah. Next time on Dragon Ball Z.
Will our boys have seen enough dubbed anime? Find out next time on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and dive straight in with Mob Psycho 100, episode 1, with the single greatest title to begin an episode, which is self-proclaimed psychic Rigen Arataka, ... and Mob.
I've heard of this Rigen fellow. I know a little bit about Mob Psycho 100, largely through the lens of Mother's Basement, which is where I learn about like 90% of all the anime that I haven't seen yet. I get my information from watching Mother's Basement videos.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some from you, Spencer, but generally when you tell me about an anime, you tell me why I'm going to like it, but not exactly what it's about. So I knew about Rigen being sort of a snake oil salesman, as he is called several times in this dub episode, which, if you don't know that, snake oil is a term for a product that is bullshit. You know, the kind of thing that people will sell and say that it has miraculous properties or can do something incredible, when actually all it is nonsense. Snake oil being the example. I don't know why exactly. Probably people were like, you get the oil from the skin of the snake and it's, you know, has wonderful healing properties, or I don't know, gives your skin a radiant glow, but it was actually just like olive oil or some shit. I'm sure that's what it was, but that's the idea. And Rigen is pretty quickly revealed to be a snake oil salesman, kind of.
Yeah, turns
in that.
Turns out he does have a cure-all, but it is not him.
Yeah, so his business is a like a paranormal, not exactly a paranormal detective agency, but it is like an exorcism agency to get rid of evil spirits that are haunting people and locations. And it is true that there are evil spirits, and it is true that they can be gotten rid of. And it is not true that Rigen is really equipped to do that part of it. He can't actually, at least in episode one, he has yet to demonstrate any effective ability to get rid of, or really in any way affect, a haunting spirit. But he's got a buddy that can help out that we'll meet pretty quickly. Although it is worth noting that the episode opens, well, it opens on a badass
fight, yeah,
that so, has nothing to do with anything.
Well, it does.
And then
it
on does. A very funny meeting.
Yeah. So it opens with a character that we are going to ostensibly assume is Mob, fighting against a whole bunch of different spirits. He is fighting in sort of like its seemingly spiritual plane. And Blake, I wanna know, as that being like your first dip into the pool of Mob Psycho, were you just like blown the fuck away by the art's quality?
I was really excited. I wasn't surprised because I've watched One Punch Man. And this is, I don't know, did Bones do One Punch Man? One Punch Man. I think they did, but I don't know, actually. One Punch Man. Oh, no, it was Madhouse
that
did One Punch Man.
And then they lost
it. So it's not the same studio. I thought it was. So I was expecting high-quality animation, and I would say you could convince somebody very easily that it was the same studio. It may even be one of those scenarios in which the animator from one of them went to the other studio to animate the other one. I don't know for sure. But yeah, the animation quality, the animation style, it's pretty similar. Although there's a scratchy sort of drawn look to Mob Psycho 100 mm-hmm. that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
It gives it a different visual quality. But yeah, this was great. I was completely unsurprised, but definitely delighted to see it.
Yeah.
Because One Punch Man Season 1 is a phantasmagoria of excellent sakuga action, and this show opens up on exactly that. And the characters work totally differently. Like, yeah. they can move in similar ways because of the way that Saitama is powerful and the way that psychic abilities seem to work in this series. But they also interact with their opponents in very different ways. And that was really interesting to watch.
Yeah, I will say one of the things that I was really, really reminded of when watching it again was that, you know, that scratchy style that you talked about, the also the mix of the different kind of mediums that they use. Like there's what's obviously like a digital art style when you have like the psychic effects that are almost like psychedelic in nature, like flashing lights and painted with almost like a. I can't think of the word for the kind of flashing light that it is. But there's lights that are kind of like strobing lights, sort of. But it's like a hyper reflective light surface that you kind of see, and it flashes the light in like all the different spectrum of rainbow of colors, which is really, really cool to look at. The other thing that happens inside of there is that it seems to switch between ink to paint to charcoal to like all of these different mediums. And it probably wasn't. It was probably all done digitally. But the way that they blended together these different like mediums that were done digitally is really cool.
Well, that's the thing about modern anime is that you have sort of two major schools, and one is let's do anime, but CG. And one is let's use computers to make the hand-drawn anime or the what looks to be hand-drawn anime move in ways that would take a lot more time and money than we have. Like, I don't know. I remember this when we covered Fire Force, which we have not covered in our entirety, but we did cover it on one of our weekly Jump Monday episodes. And I think that Fire Force looks fantastic, and you can see that it's being done by computer. Like, there are moments of CG, but even when the air quotes non-CG anime is like moving, unless it's a relatively standard sort of like relatively static conversational shot, like you can see that they are utilizing computers to make the animation move the way it is and not hand drawing it. And it's, you know, it's great. We're really getting into a place where that is getting better. And I think we're getting into a place where people are starting to get a handle on CG anime as well. Dorohedoro was pretty cool. I know you, I don't think you've seen that one yet, Spencer, right? Because we watched that for Weekly Jump back when we didn't watch the same thing all the time.
Yeah, I still haven't watched that show yet.
Yeah, but that's the same studio that is doing the upcoming Chainsaw Man that's doing it in that style that looks like Dorohedoro, and they've improved since then. And it's, I don't know, it's a really cool time for anime. Even though there's a lot to be said for Miyazaki-esque or like early Disney-esque hand-drawn work. I don't want that to die out, but I do like that we're getting much, much, much higher quality feel to your like run-of-the-mill everyday seasonal anime. And this is clearly going to be not only no exception, but like a paragon of what that can be.
Yeah. So let's start talking about this episode. This episode, yeah, after it starts out with that, gives us another banger of a great opening. It is way weirder than a lot of people are used to. The opening of this anime is definitely one of those where it's just like the creators of the show know how ridiculous the subject matter they're dealing with is. And so they kind of inject that with the fun of the music in the opening. And then we get introduced to our main character, Regan. And he's
very good.
He's going to be accepting a mission from a woman named Hanako. And he's being told that she wants him to exercise a spirit that's been haunting and following her around. And her boyfriend is like not really thinking that this is a very good idea. And one of my favorite moments is he's just like, yeah, we'll get that spirit off your back, and then your face will go back to normal. And he's like, what are you talking about? That's her normal face.
Yeah, this is such, like, so one, the creator of this series and also One Punch Man is known for sort of notoriously bad artwork, but he's a real genius at storytelling, which is why One Punch Man and Mob Psycho 100 have broken through and become such phenomenons. But the artwork of the anime and the artwork of the manga that you might be reading, if you're reading One Punch Man, and I don't know, I would assume there's one for Mob Psycho 100, but I don't know, actually. I know for sure there's one for One Punch Man on Shonen Jump. That is a basically a, like a, I was going to say real manga artist, but what am I trying to say here? That is somebody who does manga art well, redoing a One Punch Man story with artwork that doesn't look like somebody who doesn't know how to do art but has a story to tell is doing it. That's one. And the thing about one is that because he's not a great artist, he makes ugly people that look hilarious. And this woman is such a good one. And then there's a ball chin guy in a minute. And I was like, oh, it's this guy. It's basically the kid from Crablante all grown up and looking all businesslike.
Yeah, I love it when he like is walking by and he's just like, yeah, look over there. It's ball chin. I could feel a ball chin spirit. He's just like, wait a minute, you mean that guy?
Yeah. Because Regan goes to, they hire him to exercise, I was going to say like their place, but they end up in like an abandoned office building floor or some shit. I don't know why this is happening the way, like in the location that it's happening, but she's been haunted with nightmares and her boyfriend has clearly not, because he is given major skeptical vibes about all this being real or not, but also he has pretty much correctly assessed who Regan is, and it's like, this guy is full of shit and is just trying to take her money and is not going to do anything to make her feel better, whether or not there is a ghost to exorcise. I don't think he can do it. And we start to see this as they're walking down the street. Regan starts being like, ah, I sense a very powerful spiritual energy from the building. And they're like, oh, it's actually this other building over here. And he's like, ah, there are a lot of powerful spirits nearby is why that happened. And he's just, what's so great about him is that he's one of those like comedically bad at this charlatans who is also quick enough on his feet that he's kind of great at this. And it's just such a blast to watch. Like I really was immediately enamored to him, even though, like, I don't like people that scam other people, and that can make it harder for me to be into a character if they're like that, or it has to be like the kind of situation like in Lost where Sawyer is a con man, but you already have gotten to know Sawyer before you find that out about him, so you have like preconceived notions. But like Regan, there's no delay between meeting him and finding out that he is a con man charlatan, but he's just so charming and hilarious that you're just like, man, I want to hate what you're doing, but you're just kind of great, and I don't, and I'm so excited to see more of this dude.
Yeah,
I'm really glad he's one of the main characters.
Yeah, and one of my favorite things is that he's going to also use when they're like, okay, so the evil spirit shows up and he uses the incorrect kind of salt, which means that he understands that salt. Oh, yeah. He understands that salt does work in order to get rid of spirits and exorcise them. But because he is so cheap and bad at what he's doing, he uses table salt instead. And the spirit is just like, yeah, salt's not going to work for us if it's just table salt. If it's not blessed,
you have to purify it.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't do anything.
Yeah. And he's just like, oh, okay, well, let me get out my secret weapon then. And so he calls in his middle schooler, who is also his super powerful psychic, to come out. And Mob gets there and just slaps the spirit away. And Mob's like, why couldn't you have done something? And he's just like, Mob, you know, if I brought out my spiritual powers, it would melt everyone around. And he's just like, melting everybody? That's not how it works. And he's just like, whatever.
Yeah, it's so great. He also, it's a pretty funny bit that they don't draw a ton of attention to, that like the ghost appears and is threatening Regan and the couple, and Regan throws the salt and it doesn't work, and the ghost is like, I'm gonna fuck you up, and Regan's like, I have a secret weapon and I have to call him, and then he has to come here, and then they just like stand there and wait for Mob to get there, and it's so good. And then Mob shows up and it's this like comment that Spencer said quickly reveals that their relationship, and they haven't gone into a ton of detail, so I'm sure we'll get a little bit more clarification on like how this came about or what exactly each one of them is thinking. But basically Regan is like, I'm going to convince this guy who has insanely powerful psychic abilities, which there's an opening narration, you know how a lot of anime are like, this is the thing about this world, and they tell you it in an opening narration. This one has it. And it says that there are ghosts and other spiritual creatures that are found and dispelled by psychics. And so I would assume that being psychic isn't out of the ordinary in the world of Mob Psycho 100. And so Mob just happens to be a very powerful one. And Regan is not, as far as I can tell, is not one at all. But he's pretending to be, and he is treating Mob like his apprentice, because they seem to have a sort of master-student relationship, but Regan is just bullshitting his way through it. And so he just keeps having some excuse for like why he wasn't able to handle the thing. But again, Regan is just so great on his feet that like he always comes up with an at least plausible answer. And this is complemented by the fact that Mob is a sort of like monotone, just accepting what you're saying, because of course, why would you lie type of person?
Yeah. And let's call Mob just a lovable doofus.
Yeah. He's that sort of trusting, that he's not even thinking about what Regan is saying, because why should he, right? Why would this adult who said that he was who he is lie about that? And it's this wonderful dynamic that we'll see come up at the end of the episode in a really fun way too.
Yeah. So Mob is able to exorcise the spirit immediately. They receive their payment. Mob is given a pittance of that payment, even though he did all of the work.
Yeah. I don't know a lot about Japanese currency and how much is a lot, but he is given 3 coins that look to be somewhere around the size of a nickel to a quarter for our American listeners. And they each have 100 printed on them. And as a lifelong Pokemon player, it is my understanding that the Pokeball in Pokemon costs $200 because it is roughly the equivalent of 200 yen, which is said to be the amount that a school child might have as spare change in their pocket. And that's the idea behind Pokeballs, is that you could get them with the spare change that a young child would have. And then the other stuff, you know, costs more because you have to be a Pokemon trainer, which is like a job for children. It's child labor universe. And Mob Psycho 100, I think this is yen, so I think he's gotten enough to buy 1.5 Pokeballs, which is nothing. And then Regan gives him this speech that's like, you got this amount of money as like a bonus for your hard work. Someday you'll earn the full wage that we negotiated and that you're, he doesn't use this phrase, but that you're entitled to. And he's like, when you earn your actual full wage, you should think of it like getting a bonus or something like that. Like he's just setting him up so that he will never make as much money as he was promised. And that when he does, he will think of it as some sort of grand gift. And it's so sleazy, but it's done in such a way where you're like, man, this character is just, he's just charming. I just love him. And it's funny. And I don't feel bad because they're cartoons and I'm sticking with that.
Yeah. So the rest of this episode is basically you get to find out, first and foremost, the home life of Mob, which is also ridiculous, where he's just like at home bending spoons, you know, like you do.
On accident, apparently, or at least thoughtlessly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He also has a brother, a younger brother, I think,
who Correct.
Super looks up to him. And during this sequence at home, I thought of something. And again, only one episode in, it's hard for me to make sweeping definitive statements. But the impression that I get from this episode, and particularly from the sequence with Mob's family, is One Punch Man is I think a much funnier series, at least in the grand scheme of things. I remember One Punch Man being a lot funnier more frequently. That may change for Mob Psycho 100, but I was actually a little surprised at how few jokes there were. It's definitely got a lighthearted tone, but it wasn't as like actively comedic as I was expecting it to be. But that aside, One Punch Man is more or less about a man who is so strong that it is ruining his life, and a society that doesn't believe he could be that strong to the point that they have no respect for him. And I was like, One Punch Man sort of has this backdrop of like mild cynicism undergirding everything. And this sequence with Mob Psycho 100 makes me feel like, not that everybody is super great, because Regan is a real son of a bitch if you, you know, strip away the whimsy, but it feels to me like, as of episode one, that Mob Psycho instead has this sort of like undergirding of optimism about it. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking at the world as there are, you know, nobody will believe you and support you and everyone kind of sucks, except for, you know, a handful of people, it seems like it'll be like everybody is flawed, but for the most part, everybody is cool. And if I'm right about that, that's going to be an interesting, very slight but important change between these two series.
Yeah, it's definitely a really intense tone shift in between the two. There's also like a weird camaraderie that happens in so many different places inside of the show. We'll eventually get to that, but it's really great. The show is just fantastic. So in other news, they are also going to have to exercise another kind of big bad inside of this episode, which is going to be inside of a big long tunnel. And first and foremost, they're going to be looking to find I can't remember the name of the spirit.
I don't either. It doesn't matter. There's a haunted tunnel, and it's been haunted for a while. Like it's haunted to the point of being legendarily haunted. And I think they said that recently there was like a large group of teenagers or maybe college students who went, you know how teenagers do, and they're like, it's haunted, let's go, you know, poke that hornet's nest. And then they disappeared. And so Regan's like, we should go there and exorcise it. And I don't actually, now that I'm saying this, I don't really know what's in this for Regan. Was there a reward for this posted somewhere? Like, why is he doing this?
Yeah. So I can't remember this either. I think it must have been a reward posted on it somewhere, because I would not.
Every time we don't know, the people in our Discord tell us why, which is very convenient. So if you're in the Discord, tell us why. If you're not in the Discord and you know why, you should join our Discord.
Yeah. Here's the other thing. The monsters, the ghost monsters that are in this tunnel are so charming.
Yeah, they're great.
I found myself being like, oh man, I'm just rooting for them.
It is so whimsical. Like, there is just a sense that, like, not that there's no danger or stakes, but just that, like, what we're here for is an adventure. It's like the Goonies, right? Where you're like, some bad shit could happen, but it's probably going to end up okay, and we're going to have a lot of fun in the meantime. I get that impression from this show. It's the superpower psychic Goonies, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they go into this tunnel, and Regan, of course, is bullshitting. Again, maybe he has psychic powers. I could foresee that being a reveal in the show. Not that he was secretly a powerful psychic all along, but that he does have some form of psychic powers that just is very muted and weak. But Mob is a sort of naturally and without thinking about it, very, very powerful psychic. And he's like, hey, this tunnel is like real bad news, huh? And Regan, like, he runs in there thinking that Mob's behind him. And then Mob stops and is like fucking around in the dirt because Regan is his teacher. And so does he really need him? And he's like, yeah, I need you to learn how to do the thing. And they go into the tunnel and Mob's like, there's all these ghosts. I'll dispel them. Or I think he asks if Regan's going to do anything. And Regan's like, no, you handle the small fry and I'll deal with the boss. And then it's just this like series of Regan digging himself a bigger hole by sustaining the lie that has Mob being unaware that he's being duped and that Regan is not going to end up showing him great psychic power after all.
Yeah. And here's the great thing. So first, this whole bunch of biker gang spirits get dispelled by Mob. And then Mob is going to take out the big giant demon spirit that's at the end of the tunnel. And after all of that, the bikers then are just like, okay, our finals, we're able to go and be released back to our afterlives. And then we get this shot of them being all like together and hugging each other as they fade into the afterlife. And it's just like this amazing moment. And then immediately juxtaposed after that is Regan and Mob being like, oh shit, there's no more buses that are running. So they have to walk back to town.
Yeah, it's also great because like they fight the like main, the boss of the biker gang and subdue him. And then he's like, there's a much more powerful spirit. Like you, like straight up, you should not fight him because he will wreck you. Like even if you're very powerful, he will take you down. And then Mob goes in there and it's this cool, it's not a fight exactly, but there's this cool moment when the spirit appears and like eats Mob. You know, I mean, it's a ghost, so he's not like necessarily munched on completely, but he is consumed or surrounded by the ectoplasmic form of the ghost. And you see Mob kind of like pop a little bit. Like there's this convention that the 100 in the title seems to refer to 100%. And that seems to refer to an amount of stress or undealt with anger or frustration or something that is building. And throughout the episode, there are these moments where it's like X amount of percent on the way to Mob exploding and it'll go up in percent. I think the last one in this episode is like up to 27%. But you see him kind of like go into this like clear-minded devastator state. And he bursts the spirit from around him. And it's super cool. Again, it's not much of a fight, but it is a pretty awesome visual spectacle and a really good Sakuga moment of high quality animation, which is that's what Sakuga means. And it's so dope. But then Mob walks back and it's like, and that wasn't a very powerful spirit, I guess, after all, which is this great moment where you're just like, oh, he's super strong. This thing that was like sort of objectively very powerful and dangerous was no problem for him. And that was really cool. And also the other thing is that the biker guy ghost and his like less powerful biker spirits, the reason that they died.
Oh my God. I forgot about like, this.
Yes. It's maybe my favorite thing from the episode. So they're like this, they're telling the story to Regan and maybe Mob is there too. And they're like this tunnel is haunted by a very powerful evil spirit that Mob will defeat in a moment in the way that I just told you. And that evil spirit has haunted this tunnel for a long time. And he basically, if you go too far in the tunnel, he will kill you. And Regan is like, is that how you died? And he's like, oh no, how we died is Our biker gang was riding through this tunnel, and then the guy in the lead of the group slipped on a banana peel. In the crash, you see the flashback, and he like crashes and his motorcycle explodes and they all die. It's so good.
No, God, it's just like aggressively silly.
I love it so much. The fact that it's a banana peel is just about the goofiest thing in the universe, and I was just completely here for it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. The show's fantastic. Everything about it.
It's real good. I was very, very fully expecting to enjoy it in some amount comparable to One Punch Man, which I very deeply love. And I think that it's hard to say because I haven't watched One Punch Man, I think, since we stopped covering it. So it's been a while, and I've seen the whole thing, or, you know, the whole first season. And so it kind of stands as this, like, complete piece. And, you know, Mob Psycho, I've only seen the first episode, so it's hard to compare the two. But I will say that it's off to a really good start. And I could see myself liking it almost as much or more than One Punch Man, based on what we've got here. I think there's a really, really charming dynamic with Regan and Mob that I think I'm going to enjoy a little bit more than Saitama and Genos from One Punch Man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really excited to see where this goes.
Yeah, man, it's great. I'm so excited that we get to watch this show. I'm really excited about Vinland Saga, but I was way more excited. I'm just going to be candid with you about watching this show again.
Yeah, people in the Discord are really enthusiastic about Vinland Saga, so I suspect it's going to keep showing up on our polls until we vote for it. It will have its day, but today is not that day.
Yeah, so stick with us after these credits, and we'll talk about what's coming on next week.
Blake and Spencer Get Jumped is made by Forever Summer Productions and presented as part of the Geekly Grind Podcast Network.
Sound editing is done by Rashad English. He's our level 13 sound wizard.
13? Did he jump even more levels?
He gained a lot of experience by defeating the Dark Lord of Smooth Jazz.
Do you mean Chuck Mangione from King of the Hill?
Rashad is the King of the Hill now.
Damn it, Bobby.
Anyway, our podcast is ad-free, and if you want to keep it that way, please consider supporting us on Patreon.
Follow us on Twitter at @BandsGetJumped.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BlakeAndSpencerGetJumped.
Or talk to us on Reddit at reddit.com/r/getjumped.
Also, we have a Discord server. You can find the links to that on all of our social media platforms.
If you like the show, please like, subscribe, and leave a review. Reviews help other listeners find our show.
New review episodes come out every Monday, and new rewatch episodes appear every Friday.
And hey, thanks for listening.
Hello, my name is Jeremy Snow, owner and editor-in-chief of The Geekly Grind. We interrupt your awesome, regularly scheduled programming to ensure you're aware of the Geekly Grind podcast network, of which this show is a treasured member of. If you haven't had a chance to check out our site, you can do so at thegeeklygrind.com, and while you're there, take a look at the other members of our steadily growing podcast family, including the anime-centric Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, discovering new heroes on Comic Book Keepers with Chris and Lance, exploring the vast universe of geekdom with Geeksploration, or appreciating animation's finer details with JD's Ink and Paint Club. Escape your weekly grind at The Geekly Grind.
Next time on Blake and Spencer Get Jumped, we're not watching anything.
Well, we're not watching anything. Spencer is going to be watching his own anime movie, and it is something that I am fully expecting to maybe like, maybe not like. Be prepared, because the premise is a young girl gets turned into a cat, and fun things ensue when Spencer watches God. A Whisker Away.
That sounds great. That title.